What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, so if I'm not mistaken, I do the math. It is Tuesday, April the 8th. We are 11 days away from night one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. 10 spots are now locked in by teams. There's six more left to go. Again, they're still jockeying for position. I think all 16 is set, to be honest. I know I may be in the minority
with
that.
This was a discussion point coming up. Why are you jumping ahead of yourself?
Because I want people to tune in to the discussion point. Because now thinking, oh, 16, that's not locked in. Maybe it is. Anyway, lots to come in the next 11 days and 11 nights, or 10 days and 10 nights as we head toward the playoffs. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We will go west in a bit. You have to lose at some point. The Blues streak is done. I think the team is finished. They're going nowhere now in the season because they've lost again. Imagine you lose once, 100 games? We'll talk about that. Edmonton, again, I know you've heard this time and time again. They will not go anywhere without Leon McDavid. Well, they're not going to go anywhere without Leon and McDavid. Injury's not fun. Calgary's still alive. So we'll talk about the West and the Flames and the race in just a bit. Let's begin, though, with the East. We'll go into tonight's action, too. A lot of games coming up, playoff implications. Of course, the big story, Vic, came to a head, I guess, on the weekend. Alex Ovechkin, goal 895, passing the great one. Everybody knew it was going to happen. I know you had tickets for the game to come. I tried. I called him. I said, Ovi, can you just wait till Columbus? It didn't work. Anyway, what a moment. History again. And just a phenomenal part of NHL history.
After he scored the pair against Chicago on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was
all realized this was not going to last another week.
No.
Right?
No.
And even watching the game on Sunday afternoon, I love the fact that it was a matinee and a lot of people could just sit around on a lazy Sunday, you know, post-church, pre-dinner, whatever people have planned. And the kids are done with their activities and people can, you know, gather around the television set or maybe the radio or if you're driving around and just listen to this game that was a solo event. There wasn't anything else on. It was neat. There was and you still didn't know if he was going to do it, but you sort of did as soon as Casey Cizikas took that tripping penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just say I didn't take that moment to go to the bathroom because you knew in the next couple of minutes that something was probably going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And it did. And it did end up happening that way. And it was very neat to see. I love the fact that it was scored from his office in the left face-off circle, mm-hmm. just how he scored all the goals. Mm-hmm. I love the fact there wasn't any issue of offside or goalie interference or any of that nonsense. I like that it was on the power play because we've seen him do it for 20 years like that on the power mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. And the celebration was great. And the way that just the NHL acknowledged it. This is a league that I often find is very much not like the NFL or particularly the NBA. It doesn't make enough of stuff sometimes.
Sure.
It doesn't, like, sports is still entertainment.
I think it's getting better.
You're 100% right. It is getting better. And I think they're learning as, you know, this league almost trips over itself sometimes trying to play things too low key. Oh,
sure.
No, nothing to see here. You know, oh, this is record broken or whatever. Let's get on with the game. And they actually stopped and took a breath. And I mean, compared to the NBA, it's completely different, right?
You're
but they
right.
stopped and they made a 45-minute big deal about it, mm-hmm. which was warranted considering how long this has taken to happen and how long it's going to take if it ever happens again. So I really like the way that the league handled it. And you love the goal itself.
I do. And you mentioned, too, about if it's ever going to happen again. For anyone who keeps asking guys like Matthews and Leon and whoever, you can ever, just enough already. Don't do it until you get really close because, I mean, Matthews said the great lines, like, why are you even asking me this?
He's like, get out of here.
Come on. Like, what's the... anyway, I know it's a story. Who's next? I understand, but it's not going to be for a while. So I don't even think it's ever going to happen, to be honest with you.
Anyway, I do.
The goal itself. So they had a ton of cameras, of course, on that play. And they had one camera, obviously, on Ovechkin following him the ISO cam. And so they're on the power play and the puck is in the offensive zone. And then it goes back to the Washington zone. And you see Ovi, if you're looking at the screen, on the top of the screen, far boards, if you will, he goes up and literally he's barely even moving. He is gliding, if he's gliding at all, because he's waiting for the puck to come out of the defensive zone into the offensive zone. And he's sauntering in the neutral zone very quietly, just kind of not assuming anything. And then the little quick pass that sprung Tom Wilson on the right side, mm-hmm. again, at the bottom of the screen, you watch Ovechkin, he puts it into second gear. He goes to the spot where you said it's his office. He knew where the puck was going to be. And he knew Tom Wilson was going to look for him in that spot.
See, wise.
He took off, he got the puck, and then it was in. So I just think that watching the goal itself, not everybody else involved, just the one single ISO cam on Ovechkin, it was absolutely a perfect script and perfect way to finish that for his historic goal.
It was.
I loved it.
Everything was great about the whole situation. If you could script it up, well, me personally, I would have liked it two games later. Not bad though, eh?
Right.
Hey, Peyton,
yeah,
predicting
bad.
At the end of December, yeah. Two games short.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Anyways, if anybody wants a pair of Columbus Blue Jackets tickets, they're up on resale for face on Ticketmaster.
Oh, there you go. All right. Congratulations.
I'm not making a dime off of them. So
no. Congrats to Ovi. It was a great moment. Okay, let's take a look at the Eastern Conference playoff race, specifically the Atlantic Division, because for weeks we've been saying it's Toronto, Florida, Tampa. One of those three teams.
We just don't know the order. Right.
Right. Exactly. Now all of a sudden, we've got the Ottawa Senators. There is that crazy conspiracy floating around that the Panthers are tanking on purpose so that they will avoid playing Tampa in round one. They will face Toronto, where they think they can probably beat them instead of Tampa Bay. And then it would mean Ottawa, if Toronto finishes first, it would mean Ottawa taking on Tampa in round one. Anyway, throw that aside for a second.
Yeah, that's horse manure. Hockey players don't tank.
No, the fact is the Sens, they mm-hmm. are, dare I say, peaking. This is a team that's not going to score a ton of goals. It's a team, I think they're 10th in the league with goals against, so they do not give up a lot. They've got the mm-hmm. goal. If I was Toronto, if the playoffs started tonight, the Battle of Ontario, it's a heck of a lot more intriguing now that Ottawa's playing better.
I think we deserve a little bit of credit.
Of course
they haven't
do.
Lost a game since we had Brent Wallace, who of course covers the Ottawa Senators
right.
on our show.
Well, hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, Van Lauer wants to shoot us a couple of tickets. I don't think we would say no.
Yeah.
It's yes, they have been. They've been on a great roll. 6-3-1 in their last 10.
Yeah.
You're right about the goals, and they've been especially stingy lately. And you want to give credit to the goaltending for sure in this mm-hmm. respect, but I think we also have to give credit to team defense.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they've also managed to pull a few victories out of the hat without Brady Tkachuk in the lineup, I think has screamed so loudly, Ryan,
yeah.
because when we heard that he was going to be day-to-day for a bit, mm-hmm. I thought they were not toast, but I thought
right.
they were in a little bit of trouble because
right.
he's the heart and soul. And also, you know, maybe arguably other than Stützle, the best player on that team.
Sure.
So for them to manage, it's the Florida. Okay. Second of all, the Florida Panthers aren't taking, they're not tanking nothing. Okay.
They have so many injured bodies, right? Paul Maurice said the other night, he's like, oh,
yeah.
We have eight guys out. It's hard to win in the league, even if you're Florida, when you have eight guys out.
Now, some are making air quotes here for our listeners. Some are mm-hmm. resting. So it's a healing
right.
resting period for your Sam
sure.
Bennett's and those types.
Sure.
But it's going to be one of those situations where they are. There's a lot of banged up guys. You don't have the other Tkachuk. You haven't had Barkov. You haven't had other players who you've had, you know, regularly. Your best players have been out of that lineup as well. They're still managing without Aaron Ekblad, which is something we just don't talk about anymore, who is, you know, a heck of a defender
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about the Florida Panthers. If I was, let's put it in terms of if I'm a fan of the Florida Panthers, I'm not worried about the Florida Panthers.
Right.
They're going to be fine. So it's interesting to have the conversation that Atlantic was pretty much done and set, served up for dinner. And then
oh, yeah.
now all of a sudden
yeah.
we're talking about it might not be. And full credit to Ottawa for making that happen.
And it's a huge 4-point divisional mm-hmm. matchup tonight between Toronto and Florida
huge.
In FLA. I love the headline after Florida lost 2-1 to Detroit on Sunday. said the Panthers have $49 million worth of roster players in the press box. Okay, well, that's fine. You're resting, you're injured, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. So, but I'm telling you, we can talk about Florida later on at some point, too, as we head toward the postseason. I'm not convinced this team's going to go deep. I'm not convinced they're going to get even out of round one. It doesn't matter who they play. I'm just going to leave it at that. I am convinced Toronto will get out of round one. Ottawa, whoever it is that they're going to play. So you go from Florida not playing well, Ottawa playing well, Tampa doing their thing, and Toronto, even on that West Coast trip, I know after that last game, Craig Berube said, yeah, we're a bit gassed, we're tired. I know the West Coast trip is tough for any team. Even if you're one of the best in the league, it's still grueling on the body with the travel. So he said, we're gassed. I love the way that this team is playing, though, Vic. They seem to be very calm right now, and they seem to be – it's just a different feel. And I know the repetitiveness of the script is, oh, every year we get this. They go down the stretch, they play okay, and then you get to the postseason. I will say this. It just seems to me that there's something different about this club, and whether it's the head coach or the makeup or the lack I don't know what it is. Of course, we'll see what happens in the first round.
I think it's some key additions, especially on defense as well. Sure. I think Tanev has been a game changer on that blue line.
Huge.
Craig Berube has also been a big, you know, he's been a massive influence in changing the way that this team has played. And some people will argue they're not quite as exciting. I just saw my first live game with the Leafs the other night when they played Florida.
They were pretty good.
Exciting enough.
Yeah. Hey, that's
still,
key.
You
That's
know what, key. Ryan, it was still a tight forechecking game, but it was fast, man. And you don't always get that combination. You just said
the keyest word, if that's even a word. You said they were exciting enough. Exciting enough. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to, I remember when Colorado won the cup a number of years ago. And I think Darcy Kemper, if I'm not mistaken, And I remember, and I think you and I talked about this on shows or whatever, and the narrative was he didn't have to be great. He had to be good enough. He just had to be good. And I know he had a good team playing in front of him. So the good enough is what you need to do. And they have a game in hand as well, I believe, on Tampa and also on Florida.
They are in the driver's seat. And also the way that Stolarz, if you want to talk about a better than good enough goaltender right now, he's making some saves. He's stealing some goals right now. Yep. And when you're playing as good as the Maple Leafs are playing out front of him, and he's stealing a few for you. In that respect, he's a starting net miner to start the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't think there's any question of that right now, unless something changes. But they're in very good shape, indeed. So you did mention you think that the Eastern Conference is set.
Yeah, I do.
No miracles.
I mean, so you have Toronto, Tampa, Florida. They're in. Washington, Carolina. They're in. The Devils. It's only a matter of time before they're in. Ottawa. Again, I'm not going to say what I did with Brent the other time because you called me out on it. Barring a something, they're going to make it in.
Oh, you can say it now. I think they're pretty comfortable.
Barring a collapse.
You're not jinxing them anymore.
There we go. No. And there is a 6-point gap between Montreal and everybody else, specifically Detroit and New York, for that second wildcard spot. And with the way that Montreal – we're seeing right now the separation in that second wildcard spot down to 3, 4, and 5 that we saw – when the Blues started to go on their amazing run. I know it came to him, but it doesn't matter. The separation. Now, Calgary's still in this thing, but time's running out and games are running out. But I think the East is set. And again, it's just that those three spots, so the Devils, the Sens, and the Canadiens have those right now. And I just think, to be honest, it's those three teams that'll jockey for position.
It's a bit boring, though, isn't it? I think we were looking forward to...
Yeah.
I think we were looking forward to about a month ago that this was going to be right down to the wire. Right, who's going to bust the tape first?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully coming down to the final
because nobody wanted that second wild card spot every week. It's like, and when we did this, we're okay, who's you lose 3 in a row, let's lose 2 in a row, let's lose 4 in a row. Okay, take it, somebody.
Or one loss, one win, one loss, one win, one loss, one win, you know, that type of rhythm as well. I'm really disappointed in the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just after the season that they'd endured, I really thought maybe if they didn't secure a playoff spot, they would be right there. Yeah. And especially with everything that that club has gone through, and it would have been a great ending to the story. Hey, that's not the way sports works, and that's fine. And they didn't get the job done. But over the weekend, I can't even remember who skunked them, Ryan. It was awful. 4-0 on Sunday. And you knew that. First of all, it was such a blah game. I watched bits of it, but you knew that sort of was the end of it. That was the last gasp, and it was unfortunate. But yes, no, I can't argue with you. The way that if Montreal was a little wobbly right now, if they were shaking a little bit, I would say there's a different opportunity. But the fact, what have they won now? 5 in a row? That team can't lose.
No, they can't.
And it doesn't matter who they had. Dobish in net the other night. It didn't make any damn difference.
No, they put you and I in net. They put you and I in net. Chances are pretty slim that they're going to win.
I'm actually really terrible at that position, so let's
good at goal. I was a fine goaltender many years ago. So they lose 5-0. Columbus did to Toronto on Saturday. Then they lose 4-0 to Ottawa. So you lose 9-0.
And that's right. It was Ottawa. I should remember that.
So anyway, they have Ottawa tonight. Then they have Buffalo. Washington twice, as you certainly know, and then Philly and the Islanders to close. I'm with you, to be honest. I think they've just run out of gas. There's a lot of emotion with the team. And when you're always trying to fight, when you're trying to claw your way up the standings and not only maintain that, but teams fighting to try to catch you as well, and you're trying to get over, it's hard. It's one thing to be in a playoff spot like Ottawa right now. Mm-hmm. Even in the West, there's St. Louis and Minnesota, for example. To be chased, it's a lot tougher to chase than you are to be chased. And
absolutely.
I just think they've run out of gas. And it's too bad because I wanted them, like most people. This is a great story out of a tragedy that happened at the end of the summer last year.
And the way that the resiliency they've shown ever since. It's do they need a new netminder very quickly?
Yeah, I was hearing Merzlikin's comments the other day or the other night. I don't know. I remember not too long ago, it was like that 1-2 great punch in Columbus, and people were thinking this could be a great 1A, 1B system all the way through. And it didn't work. Anyway, congratulations, by the way. I know it's bittersweet, but still, Meredith Gaudreau, the birth of
her third child. That's right.
So that's
a cutie, cutie.
Yeah, it's great. Congrats to you. I know that's a
hopefully
that's
brings
positivity.
The family a lot of joy.
Exactly. Two more before the lock of the night. Number one, how do we fix the Rangers? You simply let go. Not simply. First is you got to get the head coach out of the way. He's done at the end of this season. The Rangers have checked out. I haven't said they've checked out to you all season, but I've never been on board whatsoever with this club. They've gotten worse. They've checked out. And on some of the goals that they've allowed, what the video is showing is exactly how they've checked out on certain plays. Like, you need to be as specific and attentive to detail when you're on the ice. There are a list of 10 things that one forward has to do. Obviously score, skate, all the, but you need to be close to your man. You need to look around. You need to find the Rangers are just those small things which can cost you. They're costing them. And they just don't seem engaged, Vic, at all.
You know who said the same thing last night?
Who?
Mark Messier.
Really? Well, you see, Moose and I have, you know, we got a connection
you guys
with
are,
our
you guys
hockey
are exactly
IQ.
The same.
I know.
He made mention of the fact that, you know, a team like Montreal recently won an overtime game and the way that the players reacted to it. And then when the Rangers won an overtime game, the way they very much didn't react to it reacted to it in a very lackadaisical manner. And he didn't use the words checked out like you are, but he essentially said the same thing. And he didn't seem to have an answer for it right now either. I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated. Of course, they have to get rid of the coach. I mean, they can't not.
You can't.
Peter Laviolette has to be gone. Yeah. The other issue is, though, they're stuck with this personnel barring trades.
Yeah.
All of these guys, Ryan, are signed through next year, not the year after that, the year after that, the year after that. It's not like they can make some wholesale changes on the free agent market this summer.
No.
They can't, right? So they have to look at if there is a deal to be made, and now you're going to try and move guys at their lowest value, which you never want to do. So I think maybe the fix has to come from somewhere else with the pieces you have in play, because you're not going to be able to make that many drastic changes at all.
No, unless you find a way to make a drastic change and a huge change, a huge trade at some point in the offseason. But
it's going to be hard, though.
It will be. Yeah, it absolutely will. I remember when they started off decently, I wasn't great, but I remember Alexis Lafreniere was, because I was on him last year, remember, during this show a lot. Like, I just think he's not in the right place, not in the right situation. And I thought, okay, maybe this is the
season.
Then. And then it just didn't happen. So one more game before the lock of the night. So let me read these stats to you. Buffalo. They won 7 of the last 8 overall. The stretch began with a win over Winnipeg on March 23rd, they've scored 40 goals in the eight games, tied for the third highest total in any eight-game stretch by any team in the NHL. On home ice, they're 14-4, dating back to January 1. How about this one? Windsor wins. They've had 9 one-goal games during that span, dating back to Jan 1. So they're close games. But the fact is, Vic, we've seen this script play over and over and over again. They start off well, go in the tank. They end well, give some, hey, we're going to be okay.
We're not that bad.
Yeah, I feel for these Buffalo fans. Just, I mean, go winless in 20. Go winless in 20 to end the season because you're not a good team.
Give yourselves a shot at a good lottery ball. Honest to goodness. Yeah. This is how it is scripted on our lineup. Of course the Sabres are winning right now.
Of course they are.
Because of course they are. It is frustrating. I do hope that management, if it's the same management, by the way, which is a big question as well, because we don't know that's going to be the case.
No, we don't.
Either.
No,
if they are stuck with this, they don't go, oh, hey, we won 11 of our last 12. This team is perfectly fine.
Vic, they better not.
They can't.
Better not.
They can't.
You're going to be, it's now going to be 14 straight seasons, I think. 14 that they've missed because they're not getting. I saw this article the other day after they won, I think they're like, hey, Buffalo has a chance. No, they don't have a chance. You got a mathematical chance. But I think if you lose even one of your last whatever many games, you're done. You're not getting in. 14 straight, I believe that's correct.
What's your lock of the night in the Eastern Conference?
Eastern Conference. So I'm going to say Toronto beats Florida. Ooh. And this was the same lock that we had last week, the game that you went to. And I said, yeah, I think Toronto doesn't play as well in Florida against the Panthers as they do on home ice in Toronto. The numbers aren't as good. But Toronto's rolling. They're going to take advantage of, again, the depleted team. So I'm going to say lock of the night, Leafs win tonight. Who's your lock of the night?
Columbus Blue Jackets, now that it probably doesn't matter anymore, at home to the visiting Ottawa Senators.
Okay.
Little whiff of a revenge game.
Okay.
I think it's a bit of a letdown game for the Sens.
Yep.
I think the Jackets give their fans something to cheer about. And also just that element of just staying alive for one more minute, too. I think players play with a little extra oomph when that's in the cards. So I got the Jackets tonight. And they're an underdog, too. So I wanted to pick an underdog.
All right. Toronto and Columbus. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go west. We'll talk Edmonton, Dallas, Colorado, Calgary still in this thing. The favorite for the Calder Trophy. It's going to be an intriguing discussion. Fox and 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matyash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matyash.
Okay, we went east and let's shuffle to the west. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matyash, Pucks in 7. Again, we are 10 days, 10 nights before the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They start on the 19th. Still some things need to be decided, who's going to play who, but again, I think most... Do you think that all 16 teams that we see now either have clinched, which 10 have, the other six, do you think that those six are going to be the ones? Are we done?
I'm not answering you yet because we have this coming up talking about the Flames. So you can put that question on the back burner.
That's the second time I tried to start this thing with you. Okay, we're going to talk about that, obviously. Lock of the night. Edmonton, no surprise. Without Leon McDavid, they're going absolutely nowhere. This just into the Blues, they're done. Their streak is over, so that means this team is now completely out of the playoff picture. Not only that, they're going to get in, but they're just not. I'm kidding. All good things have to come to an end. They did lose. No big deal. They're still playing some great hockey. But again, I think I said to you last week when we did this, who's to say that they couldn't run the gauntlet to win every single of their remaining games?
So hard.
Very hard. Very hard to do. Anyway, they're done. They lost. They will try to get a new streak going.
I think we both thought that there was a good chance that they were going to experience their first L in a while against either the Avs on the weekend or the Jets, which did happen. They beat the Avalanche, which impressed the stuffing out of me, to be honest. I was not expecting that. If you had asked me to lay a fiver on that, it would have been on Colorado.
Right.
Just because. Tight game, but they still won. And then finally, just overwhelmed a little bit by a very, very, very good defensive Jets team. I think they surrendered 15 shots to the Blues. And for a team that has been scoring to win games lately, when you do that and you got somebody named Hellebuck and net and you scored just enough yourself. So anyways, they did experience their first loss. Now we have to pay attention to how they rebound, because we've talked about this for three weeks now.
Yeah.
This streak is going to come to an end. At some point it's going to come to an end, and how they react, how this Blues team that has just been riding high, hasn't known how to lose in a very long time, how they react. They have three games left. So one of the lightest schedules to end the regular season.
Incredibly
they have
light.
The Oilers. Yeah. They have the Kraken. Mm-hmm. And they have Utah. Mm-hmm. No excuses not to go 3-0.
No, none.
Or maybe 2-0-1, whatever.
Sure.
But to come out with 5 points easily facing those three teams, especially the Oilers without Draisaitl and McDavid, we'll get to them in a bit. So, but if they go, if they only win one of those three, or if they go 0-3, then that team is going to feel very shaky going into the postseason. So this is very, very, very important, this stretch coming up for the
Blues.
And
the Blues aren't locked in that number one spot in the wild card race yet. Minnesota is only 2 points back, and they have a game in hand. So the Wild have that game that the St. Louis play. And if you look at the record right now, too.
Do you think – okay, go, no, no, go
St.
ahead.
St. Louis has 43 wins. They have 29 losses. They both have the same – ROW, the same regulation wins at 31. Actually, Minnesota is 33. So essentially, if Minnesota can get those 2 points that the Blues do not have with one extra game remaining, that could set up St. Louis going up against Winnipeg in round one. And that would mean Minnesota would go up against Vegas in the first round. So if you're...
This is my thinking.
If you're St. Louis, do you
What's
want Vegas
poison?
Or do you want Minnesota?
What's your poison there, Ryan? I don't think there's any delectable...
No.
Option.
No.
Right? I mean, I don't want to play the Jets, but I don't really want to play the Golden Knights either.
Nope, you don't.
I wonder how important it is, that shuffling in the two wild card spots. I don't think it is terribly important, honestly. Of course, you want to finish, well, you want to win to end the season. So, I mean, that's going to be the momentum you want to catch going in. But other than that, I don't want to play Vegas.
No, I don't either.
We should. This is a great segue into the Jets. I know that you were starting to think there was an opportunity that Dallas could catch him. Do you still think that? Or do you think the win over the Blues on Monday night sealed it for the Jets or came close?
I know
to
this
it?
Is the easy answer. I'm going to wait till game 81 after game 81 is done. No, no, no. But hold on a second. So Dallas has a game in hand.
Yes.
And they have only one regulation loss in their last 10. Winnipeg has four regulation losses. I think the hill is it's too steep to climb. So I do believe that Winnipeg does have that first seed locked down. It's something that they want. It's something, again, I don't know, you're going to take on Minnesota right now. Who knows what's going to happen with Winnipeg? I'm still not convinced, to be honest with you. I'm really not. I'm more convinced that the Washington Capitals, top seed in the East, will go further than the Winnipeg Jets will.
Yeah, I'm not. It's the way that that team plays defense, how stingy they are, that's what we see that's successful in playoff hockey. So I'm coming around to the Jets. I'm still not, they're not my top pick in the West, but just watching them play against the Blues last night, even, and I know it's just one game, but the way they played all season, they just give you nothing. And Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, he's it's just ridiculous what he's doing. And I'm with you. It's going to be very tough. The Winnipeg Jets had a great season a year ago. They lost in the first round of Colorado. This is a different team. It's a different team.
Yeah.
It's a different feel. Yeah. The attitude, whatever it is going on in Winnipeg, it's going to be tough. I just, I'm more of a Washington guy at this point than Winnipeg. What do we do in Edmonton? Do you think they've given Gretzky a call saying, look, Gretzky, I know you've been traveling lately, trying to, you know, make sure Ovi doesn't get your record, but seeing as you're traveling, do you want to come play with us?
I always like to give a fair assessment. I get excited about things, but I still like to be fair. I watched them play the Kings on the weekend, Saturday. That team isn't going to win squat without Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid back in the lineup, and a healthy Draisaitl and a healthy McDavid. They can't be shades of themselves, because we've seen that version of Draisaitl in the past in the postseason, and he has not been the same guy. They need to be not fiddle fit, but pretty darn close to it if this Oilers team is going to enjoy. Calvin Pickard's been good. not last mm-hmm. night, but in general. Mm-hmm. Calvin Pickard's been good. So the Stuart Skinner injury doesn't worry me as much. But watching this team generate no dangerous chances at mm-hmm. all, and I'm exaggerating for effect, mm-hmm. they're just not. They're not. They look like a bad version of the Sabres mm-hmm. out there without their two superstars. It's awful.
McDavid, Leon, Matthias Ekholm, Stuart Skinner, Evander Kane, Trent Frederick, re-aggravated the high ankle sprain.
He's not the difference maker.
No,
he's not stirring the
drink.
Not
at all. Okay. It's just the laundry list of injuries in that infirmary it's not good. And my big concern, obviously, is with Edmonton. They can't win, and I'm with you. They will not win squat without Leon and McDavid. It's just not going to happen. And it's been this blueprint for their success or lack thereof since the two of them came into the league and the two of them have been with Edmonton. But yes. My issue is that whatever ailments and whatever issues McDavid and Leon have, these are nagging ones. I mean, Leon comes, he plays, goes out, comes back. Like, this is not something I don't think that's fixed, and it's not going to be 100%, not maybe not even 80%, I don't believe. And if that's the case, it takes one bad play in like game 1, 2, 3 of a series, one awkward movement, and then McDavid will be out, and then Leon will be out, and then the whole team will be gone. So it's not a good situation in Edmonton.
It isn't. I wouldn't want to be an Oilers fan right now. So hopefully that they do heal, and hopefully they heal fully. But I'm with you. I'm just as concerned. The fact that Leon re-aggravated something that already kept him out, I don't like that at all.
Me neither. Keep him out for an extended amount of time before you can. I don't know. We don't know, and we'll probably know at some point.
We're going to find out. Jumping off that dismal note, Stars and Avs are going to be fine.
Yeah,
right?
That's a pretty dismal segue. Oh my gosh, you kidding? So this is the series I think everybody is going to be watching. Everyone's going to be watching a lot of. If you're a certain fan of the respective teams in that series, you'll be watching. But this one is the most intriguing. It is a heavyweight
tilt. It's universal.
It's a heavyweight matchup. Ali Frazier, whoever you want to put in the ring. And the discussion point going into it's going to be, number one, who's going to win? Who's a better team? They're so close. They're so similar. But whoever's going to come out of this thing, if it goes 7, how healthy is everyone? They're going to be exhausted. If we're in for, which we hope, one of the most epic 7-game series that we will see, because don't forget, you know this, the first round of the NHL playoffs is by far the best. That's, I think, the consensus in most people's minds. This could be, and I'm hoping, one of the most memorable series that we'll have seen.
It certainly is setting up that way. Now watch Dallas. We'll like sweep them in 4 and it'll be super boring. But it won't. I can't even picture that though. Right? You just can't picture either one of these teams who are both also playing very mm-hmm, well right mm-hmm. now, who have, we've discussed this all season long, have no weaknesses, have superstars on their team, have those elements, like you got your Nichushkin in one side and then you have Jamie Benn on the other, who are just going to bang the absolute snot out of everybody.
They're so incredibly similar. You're right. With the levels of star talent, the goaltending, certainly Colorado's goaltending has been a huge story since they traded 100 of them in the early part of the season.
Well, two I anyway.
But that's been one. Defensively, you've got Makar. They're so built. Yes, go ahead.
That's the one concern for me with Dallas. Who are they missing?
Yeah, I know. Heiskanen.
And Heiskanen is not expected to play the entire first round. That's not what we suspected earlier. We heard 2-3 games, hopefully, for the second half. So now, I actually like that they've come up, at least telling the team as much and laying out the expectations. Hey, you guys are still fabulous, but you got to do it without your guy. And then hopefully we have him for the second round where we end up playing Winnipeg or whoever.
Right. No, I'm with you.
So it's, but that is one I think that hockey fans everywhere are salivating. It's going to be that one to me and one of the Atlantic matchups in the East for me. So let's say Florida does line up against Lightning.
Agreed.
That's going to be my Eastern one. And then it'll be Avs, Dallas in the West.
No, I agree. And I think most of us have been thinking that too in the last number of weeks when this is starting to play out that way. I know the Eastern and the Atlantic's a little bit more convoluted right now than Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado, but going to be fun. And again, just give us some great hockey. That's all we want. Calgary, your beloved Flames. Now we can finally get to the 16th. Hold on.
Look at that. They're not my beloved Flames.
Oh, you love them. Now we can finally get to...
I appreciate them.
Now I can ask you, third time's a charm. Are all 16 teams, are they already in the dance? 10 spots have been taken, 6 up for grabs, but do we know the 16 teams already?
I don't know.
All this anticipation for that answer? Okay.
I don't know. There's still an element there. The Flames are within striking distance.
It's not happening.
And they won't go, but they won't go away. This is what I like about them. They will not go away. Just when you start to count mm-hmm. them out, they pull out a victory like they did last night, which was really
impressive.
It's like
that ember on a fire, which gives you that little bit of flame left, right? There's a tiny one. Let's go.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent analogy. Yeah. It just won't quite burn out. And I don't even mind the punmanship in that one at all.
Punmanship. I'll write that one down.
Punmanship.
Punmanship. Got it. Okay.
It's not a word.
Four points, I should say, within
the Minnesota Wild. Game in hand.
Game in hand.
Still no Kirill for the mm-hmm. Wild. Still no Eriksson Ek mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. Wild. I always have to, every single time I've written about this guy thousands of times, and every time I have to line up his name in my mind before I say it out loud. I don't know. It's just a bugaboo with me. Eriksson Ek.
Okay, carry on.
Bugaboo. Yep. That's a word. That's not a Matty Eshes. Okay. And mm-hmm. so there is a possibility there. Is it going to happen? Probably not. Is it interesting that we still have something to watch? Right. Mm-hmm. I hope that it just remains interesting. Mm-hmm. And if they do just finish outside looking in, I still think this has been a successful season. How many goals does Coronado have now? Does he have 30 goals? Jeez. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. What has happened with this Flames team this mm-hmm. season with these players that you didn't necessarily expect to come to the forefront? Jonathan Huberdeau looks like Huberdeau again, not the peak of Huberdeau, mm-hmm. but a lot better Huberdeau mm-hmm. than what we've watched the last couple of seasons. And I think Nazem Kadri is one of the most underrated players in this league. I've thought that for a long time, and I think it even more
you're
now.
You're a huge fan of
I
him.
I am.
Yeah, a huge fan of him.
He should have more fans.
No, I agree. So Coronado's at 22. He had 3-34 games a season ago, 41 points in 72.
How many goals does
22.
He have?
22.
Oh, I thought he had more than that, but still it's
very impressive.
Big first step.
You need a first step, of course, when you're a rookie in the NHL. The Calder Trophy discussion. I certainly was actually before we go into kind of who we were picking, but I thought this was not a runaway, but I did believe that Macklin Celebrini was in the driver's seat, and I've thought mm-hmm. that he's been that way for a while. I don't feel that way anymore. I think he slipped, if that's possible. I have a defenseman. From Montreal, Vic, who I've seen play and who I think is one of the most talented young players that we see in the game today. He's so effortless, just does what Lane Hutson. So he's my choice for the Calder.
I've been on the Celebrini train for most of the season, especially after he missed a bit of time and he came mm-hmm. back. And he came back a little earlier than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. And he's rocked out a .88 point per game pace since. He is generating more scoring than anybody else mm-hmm. of the rookie class, obviously. Yeah. And I too think that Lane Hutson is going to win it this year. And I've changed my mind, let's say in the past three and a half mm-hmm. weeks, maybe even a little less than that. When you have a defenseman who has 64 points, the season isn't even mm-hmm. over yet. I think it's 64, is it? Yeah. And he's going to rack up 60 mm-hmm. assists. And we've heard all the records he's going to tie break when he does mm-hmm. that. And he's not a defensive liability to the degree that we thought a first-year rookie defenseman with the Canadiens mm-hmm. would be. And by all rights, gets forgiven to for a short period of time. He hasn't. He's a minus two with a team that is much worse than a minus mm-hmm. two. I don't know how you don't give it to him. So we're both on... We're both riding Hutson going into this one. It's just there's too much evidence. I think Celebrini is a very worthy mm-hmm. candidate.
No,
for
I agree.
But there's just how do you argue with 60 assists, Ryan? No, you can't.
And just I remember the one game that I think Montreal, it was against Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. I think this maybe was a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was an overtime. And right off the draw at center ice, I think I have this correct. Brandon Montador. He got the puck and Seattle won the draw and he went down and scored. And it was right off the draw and Hutson missed the pickup. He missed the assignment And you could see him trying to skate as fast as he can, hard as he can back. And when the goal went in, he took his stick and hit it against the boards. Because I think he thought, look, I'm a rookie. That was mine. That was on me. And I just thought that is going to help him down the road and the maturity that is given him. So I believe I have that correct in that moment. I'll never forget how he reacted to that. But anyway, besides the point, he's so good. He's so good. So I'm with you. I think.
And he looks 15 years old.
Oh, yeah, he does.
When you see him out there, you're like, who brought their kid to game? Is it family skate day?
Man, as long as you can look young, you do whatever you need to do.
Oh, that's right. This is a compliment.
Oh, I know it is.
But he looks
young.
I have one last follow-up to the call to conversation. Yep. Hudson, Celebrini, Matvei Michkov, Dustin Wolf, who's not on the ballot?
Oh, gee. Don't.
Isn't that a tough
one? You shouldn't
one?
Do this, because I've been lobbying to get five finalists on the ballot.
Okay, but there's
it
not.
It should be five.
Who misses out?
Who misses out? Michkov.
Because there should be all four. So the rookie goal leading scorer. Yeah. So it, that just have more points than anybody else might finish. Yeah. Scoring more goals as a rookie than anybody else is going to be left out of the conversation. That's wild to me. But I don't know how you don't put Dustin Wolf on there. Because we've got Celebrini, we've got Hudson. I think you and I both agree.
Well, you have
that.
To. That one of the new rules is the finalists have to be for the Calder. It has to be a forward, a defenseman, and a goaltender.
Right.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you knew
that.
It just came down. Actually, I'm just looking at the.
But again, how do you not put Dustin Wolf on there? If there's ever been a time to have a more flexible ballot, I think this is the case where you don't need the five, Ryan, but you need to have the four on
you
there.
You do.
And then whoever wins is whoever wins. So Michkov is going to get ripped off. I believe that's he's going to be the one left off, and the fact that he scores more goals as a rookie than anybody else.
He's going to get Michkov'd. Ripped off and Michkov.
He is going to get a little Michkov unfairly.
Last one. Who is the lock for you in the West this evening?
Because I picked an underdog for the East, I'm going to go with a really super favorite.
You can do whatever you want.
The Dallas Stars are going to flatten the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Okay, can I say by plus 1.5 then?
Okay,
So just to make it a little bit more intelligent, a little less safe, they're going to beat them by at least 2 goals.
Okay. I'm not going to pick the score in this one, anything like that, but I'm taking Colorado beating Vegas.
Oh, see, that was the most interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more boring. And so you have Colorado
over Vegas.
All right. Yeah. Any reasoning for that?
I'm on the Colorado train. You know that. I picked them from day one to win. And this is, this again, all these points, and you want to not a measuring stick because the Avalanche are a great team. Vegas is a great team, but you kind of want to get these wins down the stretch. For Vegas, it's a big game too. Hey, how do we measure up against Colorado? Well, we're pretty good. I don't think they'll measure up as well tonight, so I'll take Colorado.
Sounds good to me.
Out of time. We'll be back later on this week. And we're getting closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Pucks in 7.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.